This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
And as a general rule, you'll often find with people like disaffected employees that they'll make as wide a request as possible because sometimes they're interested in the data, sometimes not. But what they're almost always interested in is causing their employer or former employer as much pain as possible.
That was Jonathan Armstrong. This is Tom Fox. We are the co-hosts of the award-winning Life with GDPR. In this podcast, we take a deep dive into data privacy, data protection issues around GDPR, and indeed across the globe. In this episode, we look at the continuing imbroglio surrounding SARs, or subject access requests. Two recent attorney general's opinions may shed light on which way the European Court of Justice may go on this contentious issue. We're going to have a quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with Life with GDPR.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox back again with Jonathan Armstrong for another episode of Life with GDPR. Jonathan, first of all, welcome back.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Jonathan, we've had some recent news around subject access requests, or SARs. What is up to date with this continuing troublesome imbroglio?
Yeah, well, you're right to describe it as such, Tom. I think that most of our clients are continuing to see SARs be an active area for them, particularly from unhappy customers and even more so from disaffected employees or former employees. And we've had the topic back in the European Court, the ECJ, with referrals from Finland and from Austria. And we've just had Advocate General opinions in these two cases. Now, it's important to say that the AG opinion isn't binding on the court. There will be a hearing when the judges will decide whether to follow the AG's legal analysis or not, but they're usually a pretty good indication, and I think they're a good reminder of some of the principles with subject access requests. And as a general rule, you'll often find with people like disaffected employees that they'll make as wide a request as possible because sometimes they're interested in the data, sometimes not. But what they're almost always interested in is causing their employer or former employer as much pain as possible. And sometimes they're using SARs as a revenge attack, and sometimes they're using them to try and extract more information from the employer or former employer or extract compensation. So we've a history of many organizations when a SAR is made saying, well, we'll give you money to not fulfill the SAR. So both of these cases were about, let's just say, persistent SARs. And the first was an employee. It's a Finnish case, the first one. And the individual worked for a bank. He was also a customer. And he asked the bank to tell him all of the people who had looked at his personal data in the context of an internal investigation. And the bank said they wouldn't tell him the names of everybody who'd looked at his data. And they said the right under GDPR Article 15 doesn't apply to log data of the bank's data processing system. So they didn't have to disclose exactly who had looked at his personal data and when. And the individual brought a complaint to the Finnish Data Protection Authority. You'll be pleased to know, Tom, that I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it, but they asked for an order, the individual asked for an order, that the bank be ordered to hand the information over. And the Finnish DPA rejected the complaint. The individual then brought legal proceedings in Finland. And then, under the process that we've described before, because GDPR point is raised, the court in Finland asked the ECJ to give them an interpretation on that particular point of EU law, i.e. whether here the requester had the right to know the individual employees who'd accessed his records when they were acting on behalf of the bank. Now, the second case was from Austria. It was about the creditworthiness of the parties and a credit agency, and the individual here requested information in a standard technical format, and effectively he wanted a copy of the data, and he wanted to see what the agency could see, and the agency instead produced tables broken down with relevant data in them. Some people call a table like that a gist, which sort of summarized what they had on him, but they didn't include extracts of the databases or printouts from the databases or emails. And the individual filed a complaint with the Austrian DPA, the DSB. They said that the response was incomplete, and that the agency should have sent a copy of all of the documents, including emails, including database extracts. And again, the DSB rejected the complaint. The individual went to the Austrian Federal Administrative Court, and again, they branched over and asked the ECJ for a ruling. So as I've said, we haven't got definitive rulings from the ECJ yet, but we've got the sort of first step, if you like, with the Advocate General in the Finnish case, saying effectively that the bank had done what it had to, that effectively it was identifying that it, the bank, had processed data, and it didn't have to get more granular by identifying who within the bank had been acting on the bank's instructions. Obviously, the other employees were covered by the general data processing of the bank rather than processing separately. And so it looks like the AG is recommending, as a result, that the Finnish court reject the complaint, or at least determining that aspect of European law, which the Finnish court will then have to adopt. And then in the Austrian case, the AG effectively said that a copy must be understood as what was called a faithful reproduction in intelligible form, and effectively saying that the obligation in GDPR was to enable an individual to verify the accuracy of data to satisfy themselves of the fairness and lawful processing, etc., etc., and that they could do this without seeing the actual printout. And it said that GDPR didn't confer on a data subject the right to obtain a partial or full copy of the documents that contained personal data, or if personal data was in a database, an extract or a printout from that database. Now, obviously, cases like this are going to turn on their circumstances. In some cases, data subjects are going to have to be provided with documents or portions of documents or redacted extracts from databases, etc., etc. But again, the case will turn on its facts. And it looks like the AG, or as a result of the AG's opinion, it's likely that the Austrian court will also reject the complaint. Obviously, it's important to say that this is, if you like, half time in the soccer game, and the judges could reach a different decision. So if you're dealing with SARS, and we know that the cost of that is great, we know, for example, in one public case that a UK authority said that it took 300 person hours to answer a SAR. We know that SARs are onerous. And it may be that the GIST route might be a way of saving some of the effort involved, not in searching for data necessarily, but in the whole redaction task, which is substantial because obviously you have to redact records so as not to expose the data of other individuals in many cases. So the GIST route could be the route to go. And as I said, we've used the GIST route previously. We know that people have complained to the ICO and to other regulators as a result of us using GISTs, but so far that hasn't been anything that the regulators criticise in the cases that we've been involved with.
Jonathan, you...
Yeah, sorry, Tom. I was just going to say one last thing. And the Austrian result also seems to be in accordance with guidance from other DPAs as well. So probably the right decisions in both cases, but obviously still some complexity involved in dealing with SARs.
Jonathan, early on, you mentioned that a SARs request for access data in the context of an investigation.
Yeah.
Are you seeing, or is that tactic being used by those who are under regulatory or other governmental investigation?
Yes, we're definitely seeing that. There are cases in the public domain, you know, Guriev and Gurieva, for example, which is a case which involves Russian oligarchs battling it out in the UK courts after Group A investigated Group B, and Group B used GDPR rights or data protection rights to try and get details of the investigation. We've seen it in another Russia-related case, which is rumbling through the courts at the moment. I've experienced it with whistleblowers, for example, where we had a client that acquired a business, and it turned out that there was a boardroom dispute which the client hadn't picked up in due diligence. I'd not been involved in the due diligence, but when the deal completed, individual A reported individual B, and individual B reported individual A, and both of them lawyered up, and both of them effectively said, and by the way, you can't process my data in the investigation into my conduct. Obviously, if it's a US corporation, it's more complicated, as was my case, because they'll seek to object to data transfer as well. And as a result, that means that a lot of e-discovery exercises, a lot of investigations have to be localized rather than done from HQ. So there's definitely a lot of litigation around that at the moment. And there are a lot of subjects in investigations who are using that as a way of trying to slow down or halt the investigation into their conduct. There is actually another ECJ case that we're waiting for currently, where this is going to be a real issue that the courts are going to have to decide. And I was going to read you the name of the case, which is just on my floor, ready for me to review the AG's decision. It's the case of Norra Stockholm Big versus Per Nykander. And we've had the AG's opinion in that case, and we're waiting for the final ruling here as well. And that's a case that's looking at e-discovery particularly, but whether individuals can exercise their rights to stop that type of investigation being conducted. And as I say, we've got the AG's opinion on that at the moment, and we're waiting for the court's final decision on that as well. There's always a tough balancing test to do in cases like that. You know, you can't reject the individual's protestations out of hand, But obviously, in many cases, if the employee is suspected of wrongdoing, you don't want the thing to go on indefinitely either. So oftentimes you will have to take, I regret to say, specialist advice on how to find your way through that minefield.
Jonathan, this is something that I think we will definitely need to keep our eye on. SARs, as you said, can be incredibly intrusive and cost-effective. And I'm really intrigued how regulators in the United States might look upon something like this, particularly for U.S. multinational companies, might be trying to do investigations subject to the rules and regulations of GDPR. So I'm fairly confident we're going to revisit this topic.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. And it's probably this podcast's probably a first for those people who are listening, obviously, because it's a podcast. You couldn't see me crawling around the floor for the name of the case that I just mentioned. But I guess that's like any good podcast. If you ask me a difficult question, you're going to see me grovel around the floor.
Well, I would say it speaks to the difference in the United States and the United Kingdom filing system.
Exactly.
All right, Jonathan, thanks again.
My pleasure, Tom.
This is Tom Fox. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Life with GDPR. In 2023, if you've ever considered starting your own podcast or would like some advice on the production or posting of your podcast, I hope you will consider utilizing the Compliance Podcast Network, the only podcast network dedicated to compliance. If you'd like more information on the Compliance Podcast Network, you can contact me via email at tfox@tfoxlaw.com. Thanks so much for listening. This episode of Life with GDPR has been a special production of the Compliance Podcast Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.